Thank y'all for having me. It really is a blessing to me being here. I want to thank this church. I want to thank y'all for the week that y'all have given us, the meals that y'all have prepared. Thank you, everybody, for having a part in that. Also, thank you for the time it takes to come, and I know it's hard having to work and then come to the meetings and then late nights and then waking up early in the morning, and y'all have done it throughout the week, and we really thank y'all for the time we've had here this week. It's been a real blessing. It's a blessing to be here with y'all. And this church in general has given me a whole lot. And I'm thankful that God has put me where He has put me. You know, He's given me the parents that I have. That's just an amazing thing, and I thank God for it. My grandparents, I have good examples in my life. And each one of y'all here in this room really has contributed to who I have been able to become. I mean, everybody has influenced in my life in one way or another. And I thank God for the pastors I've had and for the teaching y'all have given me and just being a part of this church and being able to grow up here and being taught by y'all. I really do thank this church, and I thank y'all for everything y'all have done for me. I thank y'all for your prayers, and I thank y'all for the support y'all have been giving me ever since I left as a missionary to Mexico. And I thank y'all, brethren, for y'all your faithfulness. I want to be reading in 1 Kings chapter 16. And I want to talk about Elijah this morning. Elijah, I believe, is a very interesting character to study, and he's full of great examples to us. And I just want to talk about him a little bit and the example he is to us. But I want to start by reading in chapter 16 from verse 29, and we'll read all the way through 17, verse 1. It says, "And in the 38th year of Asa, king of Judah, began Ahab the son of Omri to reign over Israel. And Ahab the son of Omri reigned over Israel in Samaria 22 years. And Ahab the son of Omri did evil in the sight of the Lord above all that were before him. And it came to pass, as if it had been a light thing for him to walk in the sins of Jeroboam the son of Nebat, that he took to wife Jezebel, the daughter of Ethbaal, king of the Zidonians, and went and served Baal and worshipped him. And he reared up an altar for Baal in the house of Baal, which he had built in Samaria. And Ahab made a grove, and Ahab did more to provoke the Lord God of Israel to anger than all the kings of Israel that were before him. In his day did Hiel the Bethlehemite build Jericho. He laid the foundation thereof in Abiram his firstborn, and set up the gates thereof in his youngest son Segub, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Joshua the son of Nun. And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, As the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word." Let's pray. Dear Father, we thank you, Lord, for the opportunity we have to gather together and study your word. We thank you, Lord, for just the blessing it is to be able to be a part of this great work that you have, Lord. Thank you for the message that we have to send to the whole world, Lord, and message of glad tidings, Lord, and good news. Lord, we thank you that we're a part of this, that you've made us a part of this, Lord, and we want to do more, Lord. We pray that you would work in these meetings, Lord, that you've spoken to us, Lord. Keep working in our lives, Lord. I pray that we'd be able to see above and beyond what we are capable of seeing with our earthly eyes, Lord. I pray that we would see what you really have for us, Lord. Lord, we lift our eyes to you, Lord, and we thank you. And we praise you, Lord, and we pray that you would bless us even today, Lord. In Jesus' name,
amen.
You know, Elijah, really, you can say he stood against the world in this instant. I mean, that's the way it seemed. It seems like in the story of Elijah, all of Israel just completely forgets God and goes away from God and serves this other god that's called Baal and forgets about the true God of Israel. And Elijah, it seems like, is the only voice that comes out and shouts what's supposed to be shouted and actually defends what's supposed to be defended. And you know, there were other people that had not bowed their knee to Baal, but Elijah didn't know them. He didn't know who they were. He felt alone. And yet he had the courage to do what, boy, I hope we have the courage to do when it's needed. He stood up in the face of Ahab, the king, this powerful king, and shouted out what he had done wrong. And that takes some courage. And I think that is just an amazing example that we have about Elijah. And so I just want to get into this history of what was going on and see how amazing this boldness that Elijah really had. So in verse 29, it starts off and he speaks about how a new king is made over Israel. It says, in the 38th year of Asa, king of Judah, began Ahab the son of Omri to reign over Israel. And Ahab the son of Omri reigned over Israel in Samaria 22 years. So, remember that the Hebrews had divided, right? They were a kingdom once upon a time. They had the first king, Saul, and then David, and then they had Solomon, and they were a great kingdom. And then that son of Solomon, Rehoboam, took some really bad advice and destroyed the kingdom and divided it in two. And now you got Israel, which were the 10 tribes of the north, and Judah, the 2 tribes in the south. You got a split kingdom, a divided kingdom. And so it says, when Asa was reigning in Judah, Ahab, the son of Omri, began to reign in Israel. So here we go, we have Israel with a new king, right? And it says that this king was the son of Omri, and we know a few things about Omri. Omri was really a successful king in an earthly view. I mean, this man was brutal. He fought a battle to win this kingdom, and he won. And he was a brutal man. And he was a very, very strong, politically a successful leader. He was able to make a new city in Samaria where he could reign from there. I mean, he did a lot of things. He was a real successful king in an earthly way of looking at it. Yet, he was not a good king spiritually. Spiritually, he was just a disaster. He had a lot of things that maybe in the newspaper you would say, man, we got a good leader, you know. But spiritually, he was a disaster. And every king in that kingdom of Israel was a bad king, was a wicked king. And it seems like they just kept getting worse and worse. And Ahab was no different. Ahab, his actual name means brother to the father. I mean, you could actually say, you know, he was his father's son. He followed right in his footsteps. And he became even worse than all the ones that were before him. It seems like they kept setting the world record for who could be the worst king. And he came to this point. What does it say? It says that he did evil in the sight of the Lord above all that were before him. But he went to such far lengths that it says that it became a light thing for him to walk in the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat. It was a light thing what Jeroboam had done when he was the first king of Israel. What Jeroboam had done, if you remember, he He said, you know, I don't want these Israelites going to worship in Jerusalem, so I'm going to set up altars in my cities so that they can worship God this way. I'm not going to worship God in the way He wants. I'm going to worship God in the way I want. Yes, and that was a sin. That was wrong. And yet it says that was a light thing compared to what Ahab did. I mean, are we getting a picture of how bad things are in Israel? At this time, things are bad. What Ahab did was basically said, we're not going to worship God anymore at all. It's not that we're going to worship Him in another way, the way we want to worship. No, we're not going to worship Him at all. We're going to trade off Jehovah, and we're going to take our new god, Baal, and we're going to worship Him. I mean, things are pretty bad when sin and worshiping other gods are actually permitted. They were permitted in these other kingdoms in the reign of his father and everything. But now it was actually promoted by the government. I mean, it wasn't just like if you happen to, you know, serve another god, we will allow it. Now it's the king saying, hey, this is what we're going to do. I mean, things are really bad. And that's what we're seeing today. Yeah. Things are really bad. Amen. It's not like it's just, you know, if you commit sin, okay, it's, you know, we're gonna let you get away with it. No, now the government's actually saying, hey, we're going to do these wicked things. I want to force people to do these wicked things. Things were pretty bad when Elijah showed up on the scene. It says that it was a light thing for him to walk in the sins of Jeroboam. The sins that Jeroboam did were a light thing. It says that he took to wife Jezebel, the daughter of Ethbaal, king of the Zidonians. You know, he must have thought this was a really smart move. I mean, kings, when they wanted peace, right, they wanted to make an alliance with other kingdoms, so they'll marry the king's daughter, right? Hey, let's marry their daughter, and now we'll have peace between these kingdoms. And physically, you know, everybody in Israel must have been thinking, you're such a great king, you're so wise. You're making such a wise move, marrying the daughter of that other king. But look at that. This king is named Ethbaal. His name means with Baal. This king is associated too much with this unworthy god. This god that was pagan, and Ethbaal was the king to which now he was his father-in-law. So he knew what he was getting into. Yet he looked at the earthly value. He looked at what he could have got out of it more than how spiritually God was looking at him. Baal, he says, he reared up an altar for Baal in the house of Baal, which he had built in Samaria. And Ahab made a grove, and Ahab did more to provoke the Lord God of Israel to anger than all the kings of Israel that were before him. How many times does it have to tell us that before we get an idea of what's going on here? I mean, he did evil, and he provoked the Lord to anger more than all those that were before him. He was serving Baal. Baal was the god of weather. Yes, the pagan god of weather. They thought that the weather was controlled by this god, Baal. That was their god of gods. And so they gave all the honor and glory to Baal when everything was going good. Whenever your life depends on your crops, and so you're expecting rain, and when rain comes and you get a good crop and you're able to sell and now you're wealthy, well, guess who they gave honor to? Baal, because they thought Baal was the god of the weather who gave them rain. And so this was their god. They loved him because he gave them wealth. He gave them riches. And it says that in his days, in 34, did Yael, the Bethlehemite, build Jericho. He laid the foundation thereof in Abiram, his firstborn, and set up the gates thereof in his youngest son, Segub, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Joshua, the son of Nun. So Joshua, when he destroyed Jericho, laid a curse, right? For whoever builds Jericho again. And he says it's going to take the life of his sons to be able to build this again. And in his day, I guess he just allowed it, or maybe he was the one who moved Yale to do it. But in his day, this Jericho, it's like whatever God said, that curse that God sentenced, it doesn't matter. We're going to do it anyway. It doesn't matter what God thinks. It doesn't matter what God said. We're going to defy God and we're going to build Jericho up. That's what was going on in his days. The world was a wicked place. And this is what we're seeing today. Now, today we may not see the same names, but people are worshiping the same gods and they're worshiping them in the same ways. And this is what's going on today in our world. Our culture is going further and further away from the Bible, further and further away from God, and they are trying to drag everybody with them. And you know, we're going to be different. We're gonna have to say, hey, y'all are going after that, and we're going to not do that. The world is going to tell us to go one way, and we're going to have to be able to stand up and say, I'm not going to do that. We cannot fold under pressure just because they say, hey, let's do it, and they start pressuring us. We can't give in. We're going to have to make a stand and say, we're not going to go the way you're telling us to go. The world is trying to take us down, and we just should not go that way. We're going to have some boldness, like Elijah. All this is going on. And I mean, it's an amazing amount of things that are going on. And yet Elijah shows up in verse 1 of chapter 17. Just appears on the scene. We don't know anything about him before. I mean, it just says, Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. You know what he was saying? He came up to Ahab and just confronted him. He said, hey, you know who the real God is? It's not Baal, it is Jehovah. That's what he was saying. You see, they thought that the one who controlled the rain was Baal. And Elijah says, that's not who controls the rain. I'm going to tell you what's going to happen. It's not going to rain till I say. Because I serve Jehovah and he's the real God. That took some boldness. I mean, it's just amazing how he was able to confront this king. It's incredible. Just his name, Elijah, is a confrontation to this king. Elijah means Jehovah is my God. So just his name is confronting this king. You've forgotten who the real God is. And it's not Baal. And that takes courage. It takes a whole lot of courage to confront people in this way. It takes a whole lot of courage to confront sin. It takes a lot of courage to be able to stand up to people when they're bad-mouthing us. When they're making fun of our moral decisions that we make. We do something for God and they make fun of us. Or maybe we just see the world running into sin and we don't want to say anything. And it takes a whole lot of boldness to be able to say something. Can you imagine that? He's confronting the most powerful man in that kingdom. The king. This king has an ally, which is the king with Baal. He has an ally, and in verses and chapters, we're going to see that he is confronted with these things. And he does have to suffer some persecution, and they're looking to take his life. And so this is not an easy thing to do. It's not easy to stand before the king and say, you're wrong. And you got to change. You got to repent. That wasn't an easy thing to do. And yet he did it. And that's what I think is amazing. And I think we could learn from him. Now, I believe that this strength that it takes to be able to swim against the current, this strength that he had to say, well, everybody's going one way, but I know who the true God is, and I'm going to go the other way. That takes a lot of strength. And I believe the text tells us and shows us how he had that strength, how he was able to be so bold. Look at what it says. It says that Elijah said to Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel liveth. You know, there's something that Elijah knew that was able to give him this boldness. He knew God. He knew Jehovah. He knew God lived. And that gave him the boldness he needed to be able to go and confront this king when he ran after an evil God. A wicked God, the God of this world, which the world is still serving today. He had the boldness because he knew who God was. And you know, if you don't know who God is, it's going to be very hard to be bold.
Right.
It's going to be very hard to confront somebody when we don't know who God is. We don't have a strong relationship. We don't know the word. We don't know the will. We don't know God like we should. It's going to be very hard for us to be bold when we need to be bold. He knew that God lived. Wow. You know, in that time, I mean, hey, everybody's going with Baal. You know, Jehovah's, that's old news. Now the thing is, let's serve Baal. Everything's new. Let's all run with that. Elijah says, no, I know who the Lord is, and he lives. He's still alive today. And that's something we need to know. Today, you know, everything's, hey, atheism, you know, God doesn't really exist. That's just a make-believe story that everybody's telling us. But no, we got to realize God is alive. And he's living today, and he's capable of doing the things he's done in the past today. Because he still lives. And he's not changed. But maybe we've just forgot about him. Maybe a lot of these people just forgot. Hey, God really does live. They had actually forgot that God lived. And so they went and served Baal. And Elijah was there to remind them. Hey, God lives. He knew his God. And that gave him the ability to stand up and confront the king when he was supposed to be confronted. But he says another thing there. He said, the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand. You know, he knew another thing that helped him out. He knew he stood in the presence of God.
Amen.
He was standing in front of a powerful king. And yet he had the boldness because he knew who he really stood before. He stood before God. You know, those people that we have to talk to or confront, these people aren't the ones that are going to judge us.
Right.
We're not going to give account to them. We're going to give account to God. And we cannot forget that. If we're going to be bold, if we're going to do this job that we have, if we're going to do this work, and if we're going to preach the gospel, we have to remember who we are before. We're before God. We stand before His presence. And that gives us the boldness that we need. He says, I serve the Lord. We're going to give an account to Christ, not to men. And that helps us out. We can go a while and things may wear down and all the excitement goes away, but we should never forget who we serve. We serve the Lord, and the Lord lives. And the more you know about Him, the more you study and read and know your God, the more boldness you're going to have to be able to confront sin. The more you realize and look that you serve the Lord God and you're going to give an account to Him and all these reasons, look, you serve God, that's going to give you boldness. I think, how can just Elijah be the only one that stood up before the king and said, hey, you're wrong. That's not what's supposed to be happening. Y'all are not supposed to be serving Baal. God is the one that lives. How could that be? I mean, isn't there so many reasons somebody should have stood up and told the truth? What about just the glory of God? Wasn't God worth it? Wasn't God worth somebody standing up and say, hey, have you forgotten who saved you from Egypt? Who delivered you from Egypt? God's glory was just His glory is worth our confronting sin. Telling people who God really is. Well, what about saving them? You know, the only way they were going to be saved, the only way they were going to be saved from the road they were headed is if somebody told them the truth. So think about them. We need to think about them. Amen. Think about your opportunity when you're able to speak out for the Lord. But all this takes courage and all this takes boldness. It's not easy. It's not simple. It takes some strength to be able to swim the opposite way. And all the world is going one way, and we're seeing it. Our government is going one way, and the whole world is falling after it. And we're going to have to stand up, be firm,
amen,
and say, no, we're not going that way. We're going to be different. Amen. And that takes boldness. That takes a lot of courage. But if we know who our God is, and we know He lives, and boy, we know it. It's not just something we say. We know it. We've seen it. And we remember He's the one we serve. We stand before Him. And boy, we will have the courage that it takes to do what we need to be doing. May the Lord bless you.